is one of the most alarming reports and among the most credible on the state of the globe in 2024 on account of climate change. The 2024 report of the Lancet Countdown on Health and Climate Change focuses on the escalating threats posed by climate change to human health. It highlights that people face record-breaking threats because of delayed action on climate change. And some of the key findings suggest increases in heat-related deaths, food insecurity, the spread of infectious diseases. Here are some key quotes that should have all of us very worried. For starters, the world is now dangerously close to breaching its target of limiting global multi-year mean heating to 1.5 degrees centigrade. Remember, the more we go above that 1.5 degree mark, the more likely it is that the changes will start getting to a stage when they are irreversible. And we don't want that because our entire way of living is different. The annual mean surface temperature reached a record high earlier this year of 1.45 degrees centigrade above the pre-industrial baseline in 2023, and new temperature highs were recorded throughout 2024. That's how bad it actually was. The 2024 report of the Lancet Countdown, building on the expertise of 122 leading researchers from UN agencies and academic institutions worldwide, reveals some of the most concerning findings yet in the collaboration's 8 years of monitoring. So 122 leading researchers were actually a part of this. Now, one of the big concerns that have, in fact, arisen is that there is heat-related mortality of people older than 65 years of age. That has increased by a record-breaking 167% compared with the 1990s. And also another key factor in all of this, 151 million are experiencing moderate or severe food insecurity. But I'd like to come back to a couple of key points. Before that, 48% of land has been affected by at least 1 month of extreme drought. The key point over here on heat exposure is important, and I'd like to go through the next couple of points. Firstly, heat exposure is also increasingly affecting physical activity and sleep quality. That in turn affects physical and mental health. There's a record 6% more hours of sleep lost in 2023 than the average during 1986 to 2005. Now, these are all critical events. Heat affects physical activity and sleep. That is something which has actually been impacted as well. Now, the hot and drier weather conditions are increasingly favoring the occurrence of sand and dust storms. The weather environmental phenomena contributed to a 31% increase in the number of people exposed to dangerously high particulate matter concentrations between 2003-2007 and 2018-22. And the average annual economic losses from weather-related extreme events increased by 23% rather, from 2010-2014 to 2019-2023, to $227 billion. That's a value which exceeds the gross domestic product of about 60% of the world's economy. Again, that point on dangerously high particulate matter concentrations is important. One of the factors which actually impacts this is the burning of polluting biomass, for example, wood or dung. That still accounts for 92% of the energy used at home by people in low human development index countries. And of course, what we see in parts of North India, the occurrence of sand and dust storms. It is all very, very bad news. But we are joined at this stage by Nihid Dasandi, one of the authors of this report. We are joined by Sunita Narayan and Nagraj Adve as well, and the author of Global Warming in India and a climate change expert. Nihid Dasandi, one of the key concerns was that we were at 1.45 degrees centigrade, right? Just under that 1.5 degree cutoff, as it were. Does this basically mean sooner than later we will get into a situation where climate change will be irreversible?
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're already seeing the effects, as the report lays out, we're already seeing the huge effects that climate change is already having on people's lives around the world, in India. Yes, I mean, I think we're going to have to really think hard about once we breach 1.5. I mean, just to say that isn't to say once 1.5 is breached, all is lost. It's really important that we minimise how much the temperature exceeds that 1.5, and each small increase in temperature will make a huge difference on people's lives and their health. So it's a case of we really need to act to minimise that temperature rise.
Sunita, you've gone through the report. In your mind, the link between physical activity and heat, and even something which we may consider relatively irrelevant, sleep patterns changing, the physiological impact of climate change is something which the report actually talks about greatly. How important is this when we talk about the health of billions around the world, Sunita?
Oh, hugely. But I think there's another factor, Vishnu, which I'm sure the report would have considered as well. You know, the latest research that we did in this last very intense heat that we saw in most of India was the more worrying factor is that the nighttime temperature is not dropping. Mm. So there was always a difference between daytime temperature, which was always high, which would be high, but the city would cool during the night. And one of the biggest things that both the Lancet report and others are now pointing out to, the new science is telling us, that what is really worrying is that the nighttime temperature not dropping has huge impact on mortality and well-being of people, because the bodies need time to cool down. Now, why is nighttime temperature not going down is also because of a factor of the urbanization. We are talking about more and more concrete in our cities. We are talking about more and more vehicles in our cities, because of which there is more and more fossil fuel burning, temperatures are going up. And more than that, and that's really what is worrying, is because as temperatures go up, you need more air conditioning, you need more cooling devices. And the more you use air conditioning, the more your cities actually heat up, because those cooling devices add to temperatures in your cities. So you're getting into this extremely vicious cycle where you're getting cities heating up, not just during the day, but during the night. And this time, Vishnu, when we went out, my colleagues went out during the intense heat and they talked to people, the worst stories, the most heartbreaking stories came from people telling us how people were dying at night because their bodies just don't have time to recover. So you have to understand that heat is a killer. It's an inferno now, and it is a killer. And we have to also understand that the 1.5 degree guardrail, the point that I just want to make at this point is that we will probably breach it by 2030 at current rates of emission, or 2032. But remember, that is when 70% of the world still needs the right to develop. So we would have exhausted the carbon budget to keep us below 1.5 degrees centigrade when the bulk of the world still needs the right to develop, needs right to housing, needs right to energy.
Sunita, hold that thought for 1 second. Nagaraj, in very simple terms, what happens when we cross that 1.5 degree threshold?
So, like was being said earlier, every sort of 0.1 degrees of warming implies accelerating impacts. That's one. And secondly, recent papers have studied there are certain key ecosystems that will tip over into new states if we cross sort of 1.5 degrees Celsius. So to give you an example of two key ecosystems, one is the Amazon rainforest and the other is the Arctic, entire Arctic Circle and Arctic ice. And in turn, what happens with these ecosystems changing, and when I mean changing, effectively it means that they are irreversible on human timescales. They will not revert to the current condition they are in on human timescales. And in turn, they will contribute to sort of greater reflection or greater emissions of carbon dioxide from the Amazon, which implies greater warming. That's one. Secondly, that the impacts are kind of extremely, they're sort of nonlinear, which is to say that we are currently facing in the last 1 year, we have effectively witnessed the future, because in the last roughly 12 or 13 or 14 months, We've been experiencing a warming, an average warming worldwide of about 1.5 to 1.6 roughly. That will probably go down a bit next year as the effects of the El Nino wear off, but then it'll rise again because of greenhouse gas emissions. Now, as that goes on beyond 1.5 and 1.6, and mind you, the rate of warming currently since 2012 is roughly 0.3 degrees per decade, means the rate of warming has also accelerated. And as we go forward, the point is that the impacts that were being talked about earlier, which are also highly unequal, will actually accelerate in a non-linear fashion. And when I mean unequal, the report you're discussing actually talks about it, both yep. explicitly and also implicitly, in terms of its impacts on working people, in terms of its impacts on less developed countries, etc. And one can talk more, but unfortunately, the kind of adaptation measures that you are seeing are both insufficient and very class-based. So the report, for instance, talks about the growth in air conditioning over the last 20 years. The fact of the matter is that's only a sort of class implicated kind of response about who can afford the air conditioning. But it's extremely worrying. And the other worrying thing I should say is that what the report does not say, and that's not the report's fault. The report basically covers data and studies from 2023-2022. It mostly does not cover 2024. So the kind of crazy heat that we saw in Northwest India earlier this year, where there were more than 40 days of more than 40 degrees Celsius, where there was a minimum temperature, which Sunita was just referring to, where the minimum temperature touched 33 degrees Celsius. That's actually not covered in this report. That will probably be covered next year, which is really deeply worrying.
No, it is. Nihir, heat-related mortality is something you've spoken about of people older than 65%. That's increased by a record-breaking 167% compared with the 90s. People are just dying of heat-related concerns, right? All over the world. Could you share some more details of this facet?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're seeing a range of heat-related effects. So it's particularly, as you've mentioned, it's with over 65s and infants. We're seeing, it's particularly dangerous to be exposed to that level of heat. And what we're seeing is people over the age of 65 and infants are being exposed to much longer days of heat waves than they were in the 90s. We're seeing in general exposure to extreme heat. When we talk about, the other guests mentioned, we're talking about these effects are quite unequal. So if we think about in India, where 40% of people are working in agriculture, agricultural workers who are working outside are particularly exposed to these heat effects. So it impacts their health in a range of ways. So this could be from heat-related stress. It could be from, underlying increasing cardiovascular illness, kidney function. People with diabetes are particularly at risk. But then there are lots of indirect ways in which this increasing heat is affecting people. So this could be through increased food insecurity, which you mentioned earlier. We're seeing the spread of diseases to new areas and increased seasons of dengue and malaria. So all of these things, we're seeing a whole range of ways in which people's health is being negatively affected, and we're seeing mortality go up as a result of heat.
Sunita, the report also speaks about how 48% of the global land area has been affected by at least 1 month of extreme drought in 2023. That's the second largest area affected since 1951, and it's part of the problem, right? Extreme weather patterns, drought in an area, in the same country, excess rainfall. We've seen this in India particularly, over and over again. Huge variations in weather patterns. We need to...
Absolutely.
We're just going to have to accept this as the new normal, right? And just pray that in our lifetimes, things start reversing. And sorry, I got to keep going on this. Even if Sunita, things do start reversing, it's not going to be an instant reversal as people expect, right?
No, Vishnu, I think, and what is sad, Vishnu, is, remember, I've been at this for so long, sometimes I feel I should really be giving up. Because, when we started talking about climate change and we talked about it, it's going to happen. And now we can see it happening. I mean, the extreme weather events you talked about, Vishnu, you remember we came out with a report that said India is facing at least, almost one extreme weather event a day. We are living at a time when a part of India is under drought and another part of India is under flood. So it's drought at the time of flood. So we can see the impacts of climate change happening. The impact on human beings is clear. We don't need rocket science anymore. We don't need voluminous reports anymore. We see it in our world. We see the farmers worst impacted. We see the poor. We even see the rich in the world impacted. The, you know, large parts of the United States has gone through the most horrendous floods, hurricanes in the last few months. So it, you know, climate change is an equalizer and it's happening. What is sad, Vishnu, and I think that's what really should worry us, is that we are seeing a reversal of even hard action. In fact, we're doing even less to combat climate change than we were 10 years ago. And I think this green lash that we are seeing in the world, and of course, we are all awaiting the results of the next big election of the United States. You know, there's a huge green lash where farmers are fighting against the European Green Deal. There is huge pressure against, there's a geopolitical war against China and Europe, which is pushing the EV revolution to a different, you know, taking it backwards. We are seeing more fossil fuel being burnt, not just in our parts of the world, but remember, the United States today is the world's largest, in the history of humankind, the largest producer and exporter of fossil fuel, 14 million barrels a day. So, you know, let's be very clear about this, Vishnu. There's a lot of talk and pre-COP. There's a lot of big promises, but the world is reversing on its actions. And this is when this report and everything we know is telling us that the, you know, that we have to take action and the action has to be swift. It's like the air pollution debate that you were having just a little while ago. We need to act. We need to act in a way that it is year long, not at the time when you have 10 days of, you know, stubble burning and everybody
and
stands
we
up.
We cannot start thinking about religion and saying that we are targeting one religion and not the other by bursting. We are so over these arguments if we want to, if we are serious about living. It just doesn't make sense. I just wanted to go across to Nagaraj Adwi for one final question. The report also speaks about how average annual economic losses from weather-related extreme events have increased by a whopping 23%. It totals, what, $227 billion. That's a value which exceeds the GDP of 60% of the world's economies. It's not just our immediate health, it's our economy which is really being impacted by climate change, right?
That's right. And I think we need to disaggregate the term of economic loss because, again, those losses are very deeply unequal. Because the losses are essentially being felt by working people who are unable to find. For instance, I've been at meetings where, you know, domestic workers, housebuilt workers, waste workers have talked about how their earnings and their capacity to work, construction workers, their earnings are getting impacted, their potential earnings are getting impacted. So when you talk about economic loss, I think somewhere we need to talk about also and exactly who within societies are getting impacted. That's one. And secondly, as we were talking about warming kind of growing as we go forward, that is something that's only going to increase in a sense in terms of the economic losses going forward. That's what. And the third point is, I think we need to also address the question by linking adaptation to other government measures. For instance, we could use NREGA, and now there is an urban NREGA in Rajasthan and a number of other towns and states.
Yes.
To build more robust housing for the poor so that the impacts of extreme heat and other kind of extreme events and flooding, etc., is felt by them from home. So in that sense, that is more an economic gain. So it's not just about economic losses that might happen. If we twist this around and do things that are possible, say in terms of expanding Mohalla clinics in Delhi and other places, expanding robust housing for the poor, there can also be economic benefits that come from this.
Sure.
And the economic benefits will be felt by those who need it the most.
Look, it's been fascinating listening to you, and I don't think fascinating in a positive way at all. It's just a reality check of what this report says. Thank you all very much for being with us. Nihid, thank you very much for being one of the authors of this report and, you know, sharing this information, which hopefully will make a small change. Will it is the question. We'll take a short break at this stage. Up after that, we turn our focus to Election Day coming up in the United States. It's a dead heat between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Where is it all going? A quick analysis after this short break.